We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dave Klein, why didn't you take me up on my offer for a little puppy child play date over the weekend? The kids were all crabby or something like that?
Yeah, crabby, sick, irritable kids.
Was dad crabby too, I sense from your text?
That makes dad very crabby.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So we ended up going with Duke Kaboom as the name. Duke Kaboom, one of the characters from Toy Story 4, and we have a pattern with Disney characters and Pixar names. And Alexa, you sort of named the dog. So Duke is the new puppy, sort of a lab mix. We're not exactly sure. I'm going to do a DNA test, right? But he's doing great.
You can do that with dogs?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Sure. It's like a 23andMe thing. I don't think you can get them to voluntarily spit into the cup, but they'll drool into the cup, if you will. But no, he's doing great. I'm a little sleep deprived. My neighbors have probably caught me in my underwear in my back and front yard, letting him out at 3 a.m.
That's not a visual anybody needs.
But it's true. It is true. Every once in a while, I think, though, because that's not too bad to be out there when it's this temperature.
Oh, right.
And when my lab is 11 years old in about a month, and we got him at the end of October, right around November, and it was cold. And I remember standing out there because with puppies, you're like, pee, please. And they got to learn how to do that. And you freeze your, you know, what's off. Anyway,
just getting any better?
Quick puppy. Oh, he really is doing great,
good.
You know, for now. But look, there's a lot of work to be done.
Sure.
And I'm aware of that. And my wife makes me aware of that every day. Anyway, one of the stories that people are, thanks, Dave. We'll get through another hour here running to Total Information PM. A lot of people are wondering about their property tax. Now, we did this topic on KMOX Overtime this morning, and I said quite, this is terrible, and County Assessor Jake Zimmerman is on the phone here. I honestly don't know. I should know if my assessment has gone up. I have a stack of mail that I really kind of need to go through, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not very organized in that department, so maybe I should look for something. At this point, Jake, I would have known the answer to that question, or I would not have.
I mean, you know, one of the best piece of advice we can give people is you got to take a look. You got to take a look at that value we stuck on your house and make sure it really looks like what you could sell it for.
Okay, so this is a good example, though. I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that doesn't know this. Would you have sent me something in the mail, or do I have to go in and kind of check this myself?
Oh, yes. I mean, you can go on our website. You can go take a look. We got all kinds of information. We've got a sketch of your property. We've got overhead pictures and all sorts of...
You got pictures of me and my underwear letting the puppy out by any chance?
Well, let me tell you something, Mark. I have a cat who likes to keep me up at night, so I'll plead no contest on the finer points if you do the same.
Right, I'll do that for sure.
Here's the thing, you know, like the easiest way for St. Louis County to get it wrong, and if St. Louis County gets it wrong, we all know what can happen to your tax bill. The easiest way to get it wrong is to have the wrong information about your property. So it's a really good idea to look at that letter that came in the mail, and if you've misplaced the letter, to go on our website and make sure that we didn't give you an extra bathroom or an extra bedroom that you don't really have. Because we're trying to value your house based on what it could have sold for on January 1st. And if we have the wrong information about your house, then you're going to see the wrong value at the end of the day.
So the example that was offered, let me just toss this one on. I'm sure you read the story in the local paper about a couple that bought a 846-square-foot house in Kirkwood in 2010 for $128,000. Obviously, the market has been very, very good. It was appraised in 2017 at $142,000. And they listed it. They tried to sell it asking $240,000. No one bought the house. So then they get the reassessment notice, and the value is $358,700. So in that particular situation, I don't know if you've been able to look at that specifically, that's 153% increase. Is that something where somebody made a mistake, or there were extra rooms that were counted, or do you know at this point?
It's hard to know in the specific circumstances of that property, but in general terms, what we can say is that's a great example of a reason people would want to come in and talk to us. We may think that the market is hot in your neighborhood because two houses down the street sold for a lot more money than the houses used to be going for, but if you listed your house for sale and you had a realtor, it was an arm's length market, and you can't get the price that you asked for it, that's very, very good evidence of the real market value of your house, and that's exactly the kind of thing that we're looking for. And, you know, even that's an extreme case where someone listed the house and they couldn't get that sale price. But a much more common situation would be, you know, you got an appraisal because you refinanced the house, and the appraisal number comes in much different than our number. That's something we want to see. Or lots of homes in your neighborhood have updated kitchens and are in newer condition, and you've got some pictures of the mold in the basement and leaky roof and the kitchen that's been the same since 1960. That kind of stuff, you know, we probably don't know what's inside your home.
Yeah, but I can't see anyone coming forward and say, you know what, Jake Zimmerman, St. Louis County, said my house kind of sucks, so I shouldn't be paying as much in taxes.
You know, what we're trying to do, and remember that I don't set the taxes, right? The school district and the fire department, those are the people who send you that tax bill. But if I get it wrong, then you face the potential of an unfair tax bill.
Right.
So it's incredibly important. You know, the people who work for me, they are appraisers. They don't care how much money the school district is making off of you. It's not their job to make the school district happy. It's their job to step on green eye shade and try and value your home just like a real estate agent or a property appraiser would. But nobody knows the value of your home better than you. And if you have information that we don't have, you got to bring it in.
All right, so I'm on the website right now, St. Louis County website. And the where would I go to just find out the assessment where it says personal property information? Because it says people, it says property.
You want something that says, you want the link that says real estate information. Personal property, that's your car.
Yeah, no, I knew that. But all right, so real estate information, then you click on that. And you got to go through some instructions and stuff. Look, I'll look at this, but I'm just trying to simplify it for
you. You look
else.
Up your address, put in your address, or put in the name of the property owner. It's very easy. It's all public record. It's all right there. You can see the other recent sales in your neighborhood that we've been comparing houses to. And that's another thing that's really important to look at. If we compared you to a house that sold down the street and that house looks dramatically different than yours, then you want to think about finding some other comparable sales that look more like your home to make sure that the county picked the right comps.
There's been some meetings. Look, we talked about this a couple of months ago, and some of the same information was shared, but there have been some meetings where people have had questions. But is that process coming to a close? And then you do have an appeal deadline that's coming up, right?
That's exactly right. And I'm doing a bunch of these town hall meetings to try and get the word out. But anybody who's listening to us on the air right now, they're hearing some of the same stuff that I'm saying at the town hall meeting. The most important thing is if you think we got it wrong and you want to come in and talk to an appraiser, you have until July 8th to file that paperwork. And it's very easy. You can do it online or you can do it in person. All you're doing is reserving your spot for a meeting. So don't wait till the last minute. Don't let that July 8th day come and go. If you took a look at that appraisal and you're not happy with it, schedule that meeting with us now, and you still have plenty of time to take pictures of the condition issues of your home, or to try to find some other comparable sales, or to get that appraisal that you've got sitting in a box in the basement. That's the kind of information that's really helpful to an appraiser. Now, if you show up and you say, look, I hate my taxes, it doesn't seem fair, they keep going up, the appraiser can sympathize with you, but there's nothing they can do because they're not allowed to pay attention to what the tax bill is, how much money the school district or the fire department is taking out of your hide. The only thing they're allowed to look at is, did we value your home fairly based on what real houses in your neighborhood are selling for? So you want to bring in that real estate information. You can look up comps yourself, or you can call a realtor and ask them if they'll run some comps for you. It's a straightforward thing to do, but the best way to help yourself is to have real evidence of what houses are selling for.
So I just accessed mine, and it wasn't that hard to do. Probably should have done this before, and my assessment looks pretty in line. So I wouldn't have... It's a rare moment, Jake, where I would not have a complaint. I was kind of looking forward to a complaint, but it looks like... Because it says, and it lists the years, it says 2019, so that's what we're talking about.
Mark, I'm almost speechless. I don't know what to do in an interview with you if we're not complaining about something.
You have no idea how much I was hoping that I could bitch about something, Jake. Come
on. You know, here's the thing, Mark. I'm glad that it looks fair in your case. And for most people in St. Louis County, most of the time, that's how it goes. You take a quick look at it and you say, oh, yeah, that looks like about what I think it's worth or about what I could sell it for. But there are lots of people listening to us right now who are not so lucky. We are not perfect. Mark, I don't know if you've noticed, but we are county government. And if you know anything about St. Louis County government, you know that it ain't perfect. And the one thing I want everyone to know is that it doesn't matter if your home is worth $50,000 or $5 million, and it doesn't matter if you are a lawyer in a Gucci suit or a senior citizen on a fixed income. Our job is to listen to you, and our job is, if you bring in some information that shows us we might be wrong, to take it seriously so we can make it right.
Well, on the comment about St. Louis government not being perfect, I would say, at least you're not going to prison, Jake. You got that going for you.
You know, Mark, you've seen me in public life for a number of years, and you've seen me on good days, and you've seen me on bad days when I made some mistakes. But, you know, this is why I firmly believe in the job that I do. You don't stick a thumb on the scales for anybody, because if you would do it for the most sympathetic person who just wants to pay lower taxes, then everybody else comes calling, and then people start asking you to do favors for their buddies, and one thing leads to another, and we've seen exactly what that leads to in county government. And that breaks my heart, and I hope that we never again see anything like it in our lifetimes.
He is the official ginger, I think that's the title we gave you, of the Mark Rubin Show's St. Louis County Assessor, Jake Zimmerman. Thanks for the info, Jake. Really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for your time, Mark.
All right, we're coming back with more.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
Cardinals back in action tonight, and John Rooney will join us at 4:20 this afternoon with a preview. I had a great time with a bunch of Cardinals and Cardinals alums yesterday at the Ted Savage RBA Golf Classic. I was not able to participate, but we did a bunch of interviews that aired when I did the show out there yesterday and got a nice chat in with Colton Wong. And I talked to Carlos Martinez. You know, I interviewed Carlos, and I talked to him a little bit. He came in here a few years ago during the summer of splashing the water on the home run hitters, you know, when they would go down the line in the dugout, and we did a remake of that here at KMOX, and Carlos is just, he's such a funny guy. He might be our new closer, and he's just got a big heart, and I'm told by one of his assistants that he's doing a big charity event in September. Hopefully, we'll get him back on. One thing I will tell you after meeting with him 2 years ago is his English has gotten really, really good, so I'm excited to see Carlos back in the studio, hopefully again here in a couple of months, and I hope he continues on the right track in the bullpen as well. Jesse Smollett in the news again. The police department in Chicago releasing nearly 70 hours of video footage from the investigation. Our friend Rafer Weigel, who's been on top of this from the very beginning, used to be here in St. Louis at Fox 2, is up at Fox 32 in Chicago. Rafer, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You did not make it back for, I know you're a Chicago guy, but you get back to St. Louis every once in a while. You didn't get back for the parade for the Blues, did you?
No, but I was rooting for him. I mean, look, as a journalist, you know, whether you they're your team or not, you always got to root for the better story. And,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. You know, the Blues winning was a much better story than Boston, really, winning another championship.
So
I mean, come on.
Do you think that folks in Chicago kind of felt that way despite the rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I was, quite frankly, you know, as a Cubs fan, I understand the agony and then the euphoria that the team went through.
Right.
And I, quite frankly, was a little bit, I'll be honest with you, I was a little shocked at when I was in St. Louis when the Cubs won, at the lack of empathy from Cardinals fans who were also Blues fans. Because I'd say to them, I'm like, look, you've got 11. Let me get one. You're a Blues fan. You know what it's like to suffer. Can I just have the one?
It's actually
no,
a valid
you know
point.
What?
Yeah. That's
you know,
a valid point.
No, the Cubs suck. I hate the Cubs. I'm like, wow, that is like, I'm not asking for 11. I just want the one. That's all I'm asking for. But regardless, I did. I was very happy. And what a great story to go from last place to first.
Unbelievable.
I mean, come on.
And Craig Berube, by the way, one of the stories we'll have this afternoon, just got a 3-year contract. So good for him. All right. So tell me what's going on with Jussie Smollett right now and what we learned from the release of these videos and the information.
Well, you saw the videos of, you know, the guy having the rope around his neck and how unusually calm he was for, you know, somebody who had just been assaulted. You know, the surveillance video was needle in a haystack. I mean, it just took forever. But you can clearly see the Ocendero brothers, you know, going to the scene of the crime with their hoodies, covering their faces in the taxi, and, you know, one of them wearing the red hat. And, you know, when you put it all together, it's what we expected. It shows that this guy made the whole thing up. So what we're at now is we're at square one. And the fact that the judge, and we were shocked on Friday, I realize it's old news, it's already Tuesday, but when the judge appointed the special prosecutor, we were shocked up here. Because we figured he's part of the Cook County machine, just like Kim Fox. They're probably cronies, and he was just going to toss it out. And he had some really strong language for, you know, for Fox's handling of this. So now with a special prosecutor coming in, you know, they're going to cast a wide net. Maybe it's somebody from downstate who wants to make a name for him or herself politically, and they're going to take it on. And, you know, you could end up seeing Smollett getting charged all over again and being back in court. And I think a lot of people think that that's what's going to happen. It's really bad news for Kim Fox, who, you know, has higher political aspirations. You know, she wants to be, you know, it's no secret, you know, she's tied with the Obamas, and she was looking up, and, you know, this, you got to think, is going to hurt her political career.
So is she, because I know I've seen some stories, is there going to be a special prosecutor looking at her?
Yeah, looking at her office's handling of the case. And the biggest thing that they got blasted for was, well, she recused herself, but then she appointed her first deputy, Joseph Magetz, to, and that's not recusal. You know, if you're going to recuse yourself, then you've got to bring in somebody from maybe another county, you know. And so, no, her office never did recuse herself at all. And it was interesting over the weekend, there was all this finger pointing with Kim Fox, you know, pointing the finger at the ethics officer saying, hey, well, I listened to her, somebody within her office. She basically threw under the bus. Who left the office? And that woman, April, was like, whoa, 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 hey, don't throw me under the bus. You know, I followed your lead. So there's all this finger pointing and blaming. But the biggest thing that I took note of on Friday was the fact that, you know, I spent all Friday night, you know, watching all the cable shows because I have no life. And I watch them all. And there was no sign of Mark Garagos, Jussie Smollett's lawyer, anywhere to be seen. And that was telling, because Garagos loves to talk. Remember, through the whole thing, he would,
You
know, he wanted to try it out in the media. The fact that he has not even responded to this special prosecutor thing tells me he's sweating this out too. And it's bad news for Smollett and Kim Fox, but we still got to see what happens.
So what the one thing that piqued my interest just a little bit, you see the two brothers in the cab or in a cab the night of the incident, and in the AP story that I have, it says they're wearing what appear to be light-colored hazmat suit and gloves, with one of the brothers tightening around his face. What's that about, the hazmat suits?
I think it was more, it might have been, it looked like a hazmat suit, but it was probably more of like a hoodie. And, you know, that was probably for the whole bleach. It was probably for the bleach thing, you know, part of the whole theatrics that Smollett wanted, you know, the bleach, the
robe.
Right,
right.
You know, so they're probably protecting themselves, you know, from that. But you can also see in the video when you go through it, you know, how they go from the cab to the lift, you know, to another cab, and, you know, how they're basically, you know, changing, you know, cars and vehicles. It's truly impressive how police were able to sift through this needle in this haystack to be able to track the brothers down. And when the police met them at the tarmac with ICE agents, I mean, what a dramatic moment. And that's on my Twitter page, at RAFERWEIGEL, the video there when they met him and took him into police custody. And he was, you know, I think these guys were pretty shocked when that happened.
Yeah, I haven't seen, so I got to go. I've seen your tweets, obviously. We follow each other, but that, you actually have the video of that up on the site right now?
I should have the video of one, and if I don't, I'll put it up right now. I'm pretty sure I have the video of one of the brothers being met at O'Hare on the tarmac. I have one of the other brothers being brought in in handcuffs, and then, you know, having him take off his string and his belt and searching him and that kind of thing. But the Chicago police met him at O'Hare on the tarmac, pulled them off of the plane, and with ICE agents there.
Yeah, and you have, let me just pull, the only sound that I pulled from this is he's still wearing in the apartment, he's wearing the noose around his neck, and they say, you want to take it off? Here's what it sounds like.
You want to take it off or anything?
Yeah, I do. I just want to
say, he said, yeah, I want to take it off, but I wanted you guys to see it. So I am seeing some of those videos. It's Rafer Weigel, RAFERWEIGEL. Rafer, thanks for the update and the information, and we'll see what happens with the special prosecutor.
Okay, Mark, thanks for having me on. I'll be down in the Lou this weekend, so I'm hoping for good weather down there. And are the Cardinals in town this weekend?
This weekend, they are not. They
okay.
are. I don't think, Dave, they're not. They play Oakland, but I think they take off for a West Coast swing this weekend. So
I know I'm going to get down there for some games because my girlfriend, Margie Ellisor, has got a little contact with the Cardinals, they take care of her. I wish the Cubs would do that for me, but they absolutely do not take care of me.
We should all go to a game sometime because, you know, I haven't hung out. We have established, I knew Margie from way, way back when, 30 years ago in Columbia, so maybe we can do that. Rafer, have a great trip in, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Get ready for the Cards and Athletics tonight. Ameren Total Access, 620. First pitch, 715. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Hey, we have an audio cut of the day forthcoming here this afternoon. John Rooney's going to join me at 4:20. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball. Craig Berube got an extension. Well, actually, he's got a contract, a three-year contract. Congratulations to him, and we'll have much more. I think Alex is in on sports. So for the past few years, I have hosted a couple of the members of the Texas 4000. The Texas 4000, a bunch of students from the University of Texas, they start down in Austin and they ride across the country up north. This particular path that comes from St. Louis goes through Wisconsin and up to Anchorage, Alaska, to fight funds to fight cancer. And when I first did this a few years ago, I was cycling quite a bit. I have gone back to golf, which was a very terrible decision, so I'm a little disappointed that I can't ride with these ladies who are in the studio with me, Madeline Yuan. Did I pronounce that even close to accurately, Madeline?
Oh, that was great.
All right, thank you. Claire Crotty, how are you?
I am great.
Did I pronounce that correct?
You did.
How are you? Welcome to St. Louis.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have you guys been here before? Claire, you're from the Chicago area, so you're not too far away.
Yeah.
Have you been here to St. Louis? Get real close to that microphone if you would.
I've gone to Cardinals games before.
You have?
Yeah.
Nice. So you grew up on the South Side there. Are you a Cubs fan?
I am. My mom actually worked for the Cubs when she was in high school.
Okay, Madeline, we're not going to talk to Claire anymore. We're just going to talk to you because she's a Cubs fan. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
But have you either of you been here through St. Louis?
I've actually been to St. Louis.
Oh, you have, you said. Yes, I'm not paying attention. I told you I was sleep deprived, Claire, right? Go ahead, Madeline.
I was just here this last winter break just to visit.
Oh, nice. All right, so explain what the Texas 4000 is. I love events like this and I love the commitment. The one thing I've learned from some of the riders over the years, I guess, as a cyclist for a couple of decades now, I assume that maybe a lot of the people who got involved here were experienced cyclists, but I also found and discovered interviewing several people have come through that, no, this was sometimes it's just a challenge that people take on and they're new to the bike. So that makes it even tougher. How about you guys? Had you been cyclists before or was this something you just decided to take on?
Yeah. So I can say that I learned how to bike or ride a bike when I was, 10 years old? But I wouldn't say I was a cyclist by any means.
Yeah, a little different.
But I joined this organization because I was drawn to the three pillars of hope, knowledge, and charity. This organization, you know, we don't bike 4,500 miles for nothing, and it is to share these three pillars. And yeah, I was just drawn to the pillar of hope because I think hope is such an important virtue to have and or thing to have. And yes, for people who are fighting cancer, which is what we do this for, but also for anyone who's going through hardship in their life. And so wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. And yeah, it's very exciting thing.
Claire, how about you?
Yeah, definitely was not a cyclist before. have since fallen in love with biking. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I was really attracted to the Ozarks route being from the Midwest. And
so did you guys get to choose your route then?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all kind of pick which one we want to be on and then are separated from there. So we all chose to be on the Ozarks route. And it's the Midwest is the most cancer ridden portion of the U.S. We go through the cancer belt in the South. And so a lot of the communities that we're reaching, have the highest populations of cancer in the country.
How many people are on the ride and how many groups are there? There are three routes or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's three routes. We have 83 team members and then 27 specifically on our route. The other two routes, Sierra goes, through Nevada and Arizona and up through California, and then the Rockies route goes through the Rocky Mountains.
See, I don't think there's really an easy route because you got the climbing in the mountains, you get the wind here. The wind can be brutal, especially you go up through Illinois. Be careful there. You get the flats, and I'll take hills any day. I'm telling you right now because at least you can do that at your own pace. I've always shared this story many, many years ago. I was riding a hybrid. This was around 2000, 2001. And I put some slicks on the hybrid and I started riding. I was maybe doing 15 miles. I thought that was a big deal. I finally got a road bike and I vacationed up in, Claire, you probably know Door County, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Beautiful up there. A lot of St. Louis people go up there. So I got my Trek road bike, right? My intro road bike. I'm so excited. I got my little computer on there, right? I see how fast I can go. So I go across the peninsula. Door County is this peninsula that jaunts up from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, toward Michigan, and it's surrounded by water on both sides. So I'm crossing east-west on the peninsula, and I'm, you know, first time I'm on this bike, and I'm like flying, right? I'm like, this is road bike, man. I should have got one of these a long time ago. And I get to the end of the route before I'm going to, basically I'm just going one direction and I'm turning around, right? Because I didn't even know where I was going at that point. So I turn around and I'm probably going 20, 22 miles an hour. And then I turn around and I figure out that there's wind directly in my, and I didn't even think about it. Had no idea that I had to take that into account. I'm really lucky that I even got back that day because I don't think I could go faster, and this is not an exaggeration, than 8 miles an hour because I had this incredible tailwind. So you guys know what I'm talking about, but those winds are certainly something that you have to deal with. Now, we've had a lot of weather here in the Midwest and rain. Have you guys encountered some of that?
Yesterday, we rode out here from Mount Vernon, Illinois, and it's just straight west, right? And it was so windy. We had 20 miles of storms at first, and that was exciting, but also we were
exciting
very wet.
Is one word for it.
Yeah,
yes.
Exciting. I try to be positive about it. But yeah, it was incredibly windy, and I would be lying if I said that we did not stop and get off our bikes just to cry a little bit at how windy it was.
Yeah, you know, you said something, though, Madeline, that I want to go back to, because I've done, I don't know how many, I can embellish this a little bit too, probably, but I've done, we'll just say 15 centuries. I think maybe a few more than that. But I get to that 85-mile mark, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why did I do this again? Mm-hmm. Because at least for me, that's, you know, it depends on the day and the wind and the weather and all that stuff. But I have a friend, one very close friend in particular, who is paralyzed from the waist down, had a snowmobiling accident. It's a great story, actually. His name is Grant Corrigan. You can find out more online. And he's like on the TED Talk circuit now and motivational speaker, and he's an amazingly positive guy. But when I get into that period like you were yesterday and I start thinking about what's happening and my legs are cramping and I'm hurting and I just want to get off, I think, you know what? Okay, this is bad, but there's an end to this and I can get through it. And that's actually something mentally that is very helpful.
Yeah.
So I think you guys are experiencing that probably a lot more throughout a trek all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. Where does the route take you next?
So we are headed towards Springfield, Illinois. Springfield, yes.
Okay, up there and then through Wisconsin and then where from there?
Into Minnesota. So we'll be visiting Minneapolis and then from
Minnesota. They still have snow on the ground up there probably.
Oh,
probably
that's
3 or 4 feet.
It'll be a lot cooler than it was in Texas then.
What day is this of the ride? When did you leave?
This is day 25.
Okay,
we left
all right,
on
so
June 1st.
And then the ETA in Anchorage is what?
August 9th.
August 9th.
Yeah, so it's a 70-day journey total.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot. How do folks listening donate to the cause? Because you're trying to raise money here with the Texas 4000.
Yeah.
Give the information out for people who want to help out the cyclists here. And I apologize because I had a great time a couple years ago riding with the group, and you know, they've reached out a couple of times, and I still wanted to get you guys in here to give you some exposure because I appreciate what you're doing, but can't ride tomorrow. And if I would, I'd be going about that aforementioned 8 mile per hour speed because I'm a little out of shape. So anyway, the website and all that information.
Yeah,
and we can also track you guys on that website, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can get more information and donate at texas4000.org. And on there, there's a social wall, so you'll be able to see everything anyone on our team is posting. And then additionally, there's like a day-by-day route, so you can see where we are right now and then where we're heading in the next few days on our way to Anchorage.
You get to know people pretty well on a bike, don't you? It's funny because the one thing that I miss about riding on a regular basis, and I should say that, not even, I'm not riding at all right now, it's terrible, but there are people that you may only see when you ride, and you're riding, well, I was always on the bike for 3 to 4 hours, so you have long conversations with people, maybe even more intimate conversations, if you will, than some of your close friends, because you got to talk to someone and you get to know people in a unique way. So I bet that's an interesting experience as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. We have gotten very vulnerable with each other
over the last
25 days. Mm-hmm. We joke a lot that like our route is the most comfortable crying in front of each other, which is honestly really nice when you're going through all of this. You're like, we try to carry as many stories as we can of the people that we meet. And so having each other to lean on through that is wonderful.
Well, look, we have a guy in our newsroom, Brett Bloom, who, and I think many of the listeners aren't aware, Brett has a serious cancer struggle right now, and most of us have not seen him in many months, and you know, we got an update on him today, and he's in good spirits, but he's going through a lot. So he's on our minds here at KMOX, and I don't think you can have anyone that's listening right now that isn't touched, unfortunately, by some form of cancer in their family. So thanks, guys, for doing what you do.
Absolutely.
And we will definitely be writing for him, and we would love to encourage anyone who's listening. They can go on to any of our pages and send us an encouragement with ride dedications, and we'd love to share those with our team. Before every single ride, we all get into a circle and dedicate our ride that day to someone we know or we've met who is battling cancer or whose life has been affected by
cancer.
Nice.
I was in that circle a couple of years ago, and it's a nice moment. Madeline and Claire, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Get some barbecue. Get some barbecue from Sugar Fire. Get some carbs in you, and have a great ride up until Alaska on August 9th.
August 9th.
Good luck. Stay safe, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, ladies.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Can you feel the love tonight?
I guess the soundtrack to the new Lion King movie is out.
As king.
You got Beyonce on here, and David Glover singing alongside Beyonce, who plays Nala here.
It's a really special thing.
All right, so that I'm looking forward to it, although I'm partial to the Elton John soundtrack. July 19th, the opening for The Lion King. You know, it's interesting. Toy Story did really well over the weekend, but it underperformed to a certain extent at the domestic box office, which I think surprised a lot of people. I think it's a very, very good movie. I gave it a B+ last Friday, I think, and I didn't look at the final figures, 125, 130, but there were experts predicting 150, 160, and it was just a movie for whatever reason. I talked to a bunch of people who went and saw it over the weekend, but not quite the demand, perhaps, that they expected. I don't think that's going to be the case for The Lion King. My guess is The Lion King is going to be ginormous next month.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, let's see here. I was going to do a couple of things because we were off yesterday. I got to start here with Bernie, though, and getting rid of college debt.
We will make a full and complete education a human right in America to which all of our people are entitled.
Now, that is not a human right. It's a human right.
This proposal will make it possible for every person in America to get all of the education they need, regardless of their financial status. This means making public colleges, universities, and HBCUs tuition-free and debt-free by tripling the work-study program, expanding Pell Grants, and other financial incentives.
So I like the response here from Jimmy P., James Pethakoukas from AEI.
I think right now the Democratic primary is kind of like, you know, those fifth grade student council elections where the kids are promising like Domino's pizza for lunch, lemonade in the water, in the water fountains, anything go. That's what this plan is. Bernie's kind of turned this thing up to 11. And so he wants to cancel all the student debt, including for those Wall Street bankers who have student debt. This is really a solution in search of a problem. To the extent that there is a problem with student debt, it's really on the low end. So why not have a targeted plan to maybe help those people who are really folks with maybe $5,000 or $10,000 in debt? They went to college, didn't complete. That's where the problem is. Anything beyond that is really ideology, which is what Bernie said in that speech, that this is about making college free for all. It's a human right. It's really not about solving a particular problem.
I would encourage Bernie and the rest of the Democratic field. They start debating tomorrow night, by the way, Wednesday, Thursday night debates, to keep on this path of reparations and free college tuition and eliminating debt. We'll see how that works out for him. 356. Those are your audio cuts of the day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.